MLB opening day is back tomorrow, and season 4 of Baseball Chatter is back as well. In this episode, new co-host Nate Rodriguez and I will break down our MLB season predictions, discuss the Shohei Ohtani and Ipe Mizuhara situation, and much more in a jam-packed season premiere episode of Baseball Chatter. Alrighty, a brand new season of Baseball Chatter and a new season. We have a new co-host with me this year. Nate Rodriguez is joining me on this season of Baseball Chatter. Nate, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing solid, Billy. How are you?
Great. I mean, for the listeners, you want to recap a little bit, I guess, just how we know each other?
Yeah, it's good to kind of, you know, reconnect with you, Billy. We go back, is it 2021? A couple of years now, a few years, I guess, 2.5 years. I transferred to the University of Laverne after playing junior college baseball at Chaffey College. COVID kind of ruined my playing days, but Billy helped transition me into the next part of my life where I'm going with my career, hopefully, as a play-by-play announcer. I studied at Laverne as a broadcast journalist, kind of did the news thing, but sports are where my passions lie, and baseball season is the best time of year. So this is super exciting.
Dude, it's been an absolute blast to get to know you over the past few years. And one of the best broadcast partners that I've had the privilege to work with as well. And I know you're going to do great things continuing in that career. You went to the winter meetings, right?
I did. As a matter of fact, I took the trip down to Nashville based on your suggestion at the Smudge Pot football game back in what, September that was, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I followed up with it. I took the trip down to Nashville. It was awesome. First time doing a trip on my own. And it was held at the Gaylord Opryland. And man, what a freaking like hotel, dude, if you can even call it that. That was like the biggest place I've ever been to. But it was a surreal experience on top of that. You saw major league guys left and right. I sat next to Bo Porter, the Angels first base coach, at the Jack Daniels bar down there at the hotel. So it was crazy. It was cool. Thank you for the suggestion, because it couldn't have gone better.
I'm glad. And yeah, it's just like a massive job fair, ability to just kind of connect and then just get your stuff out there. And you never know what type of jobs open up, because it's such a tough industry, and it's one that just, you know, you just got to keep grinding at and work your way into any ways that you can. So yeah, but aside from that, I'm so happy to be doing this podcast with you. So thanks for saying yes.
And
I know that you love baseball and I love baseball. So let's get into it. You
yes,
want to start with our predictions?
Yeah, let's see here. I got to pull mine up. Let's see.
So we'll
I think a lot of ours look the same, huh? Kind of going into it, I feel like, sort of.
Yeah.
At least in the National League, I thought. I had the Central mixed up a bit. Do you want me to break mine down first? You kind of want to, let's see here. Do you want to go division by division each?
Yeah, we can share division by division. You want to start in the American League?
Yeah, let's do that. I guess we'll start with the West, right? The World Series champs, the Rangers. I have them winning the West again, despite the Jordan Montgomery departure. That's a big signing for Arizona. 1 year, $25 million. That's kind of
just happened yesterday, by the way.
Right. But I do have the Rangers beating out the Astros. I feel like the Astros start to collapse now with the lack of starting pitching. I don't know, maybe Justin Verlander, you know, carries the load for Houston, but I'm not 100% sure. He's starting out on the injured list, so.
Yeah, he is going to be on the IL. The reason why, so you went with the Rangers as your division winners, and I like that. I mean, I feel like the top three, Mariners, Astros, Rangers, all have viability to win that division. Reason why I'm going with the Astros is because I think, aside from just the Verlander starting off on the IL, I think they have the pitching. I really like Framber Valdez. He's I think a year or two ago he set a string of like 25 consecutive quality starts. I like Hunter Brown coming into another season.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that I had in my fantasy team last year, and he racks up a lot of strikeouts, and I think he's going to continue to just be a dog out there on the mound. And you know, so I think Framber, Javier to follow, and Hunter Brown is a top three that is pretty good. And you know, the departure of Montgomery is going to hurt, I think, Texas. But I think, you know, looking at it, Evaldi followed by Gray, Heaney, Dunning. It's a lot of guys that could be but I like the Astros pitching rotation a little bit more than the Rangers. So that's why I'm sticking with the Astros as the AL West division champs, followed by the Rangers and Mariners. And I have the Rangers and Mariners both making a wild card spot.
Yeah.
So you have Rangers as the
I do
division
think the
champs.
Mariners could be a dark horse out of the American League in general.
Okay.
I don't have them making it because I feel like the AL East is so stacked when you move, the opposite direction.
Yep.
Valid points. I just feel like the Rangers slug their way out of the West. But when it comes to the East, I feel like everybody's got Baltimore on the up and up. So, I really wanted to see Baltimore take it all last year, but I feel like that first round playoff controversy, if you could call it that, obviously bounced a lot of teams last season, but I think Baltimore kind of, takes the cake this year, makes it all the way. We'll save, the best for last, but I do think Baltimore outright wins the American League, so.
Oh wow. Okay. All last year during the podcast, I was a big non-believer of Baltimore. And I
Interesting.
kept saying, like, episode after episode, the Orioles are gonna fall, the Orioles are gonna fall, the Orioles are gonna fall, they're gonna fall, they're gonna fall, they're gonna fall. And they never fell.
Right.
I had to eat that and deal with the repercussions of that and them being pretty much the best team in the American League. But here I am yet again, Nate. And I'm saying the Orioles will not win the division. I just think, man, they have the best team, I guess, in terms of youth. I agree. But sometimes youth just doesn't pan out. And
Right.
until I see like a consistent, set of seasons put together, I'm just not going to be buying product from the Orioles. So I do have the Blue Jays. Believe it or not, my division winners for the American League East, followed by the Orioles. I still do have them as a wild card spot. And then the Yankees and Rays, and then Red Sox dead last. Yankees missing the playoffs in my predictions, as well as the Rays and Red Sox. I have the Orioles second, only because I like the addition of Corbin Burns. I think the one thing that they were missing was an established
Starter.
ace, yeah, on that roster. I like the young talent that can slug and continue to hit and improve. Jackson Holliday is not going to start
Right.
on the major league roster, which was interesting because he had a terrific spring. But yeah, I just until I see more of it, I can't put my heart into it.
I'm big on the youth thing. I feel like baseball is headed in that youth direction. I think with the debut of Shanuel, is that how you pronounce his name for Anaheim? I'm gonna call him the Anaheim Angels. But Nolan Shanuel, obviously coming up just a couple months after the draft, Angels brought up Nito, the shortstop. So I feel like obviously that's just a small sample size, two guys playing for one team, but you had Holiday making his case. You have Skeens for Pittsburgh, who also might come up later this year. Cruz for the Nationals, who was drafted, what, second overall right after him. So, I mean, there's obviously these guys who organizations feel already coming out of established college programs. Obviously, high school guys like Max Clark, years away still. I think baseball's a far ways away from going that young. But Holiday is that rare kind of exception. And I feel like he can make an impact for them down the line. I want to know what's got you at the Blue Jays up top. I feel like Bassett and Gausman, obviously at the front, are a good 1-2 punch, and the lineup can slug too. But what's got them edging out the rest of the East?
I'll tell you what, similar to like the youth moment when the Blue Jays were the young team, and it's funny to say that because they still do have a pretty loaded young talent pool,
Right.
Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., just to name a few. I was all on board and I was like, wow, this is the Blue Jays teams that's gonna win the division and be the kind of like that underdog dark horse that pulls through. And they just never have been able to do it.
Right.
But I do like Bassett. I do like Jose Barrios. I think I predicted him to be my American League Cy Young winner last year, which obviously did not pan out.
Blew up.
But I still really like him, and I think that he could have a bounce back year.
Very
I like the
talented.
addition of Justin Turner, who just consistently hits regardless of where he's going to be. And I like the addition of him as like a clubhouse role model. This is a guy that has been to numerous division titles with the Dodgers, as a focal point and as a clubhouse leader. And I think that experience is something that the Blue Jays have been missing. And I think aside from, the bat skills, he's going to be able to provide a lot more to the clubhouse that is necessary for the team to gel and a team to kind of stick through it and win a division. And so I think this year is the year that the Blue Jays kind of package everything together. And a little bit of a spoiler here, my American League MVP is going to be Vladdy G. So I'm going with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as my AL MVP, and that's why I have them winning the division.
I saw that. I saw that. I like that. That's not a bad pick. Vladdy's like the Blue Jays. If it's going to be the Blue Jays year, Vladdy's going to be at the center of it. So I think those two go hand in hand. And I like the point about Turner being Dodger fans. You and I obviously growing up, and Turner is so nostalgic, I feel like, to the kids in our generation. That's a huge point, especially when it will come around to his managerial, status
Yeah.
when the time comes. Him having seen guys like Ansel Alberto or the other guys that came through that clubhouse, and now for him to serve that role. I like that. I hope he's the clubhouse guy on my fantasy team because he's riding the bench for them right now, but I feel like plug him in because he's going to hit 300. So that's cool.
I'll tell you what, I'm interested to see because you have Blue Jays and Rays as wild card spots, Orioles, your division champs. You have the Yankees missing the postseason yet again.
I
What
do.
what's the reason behind that? I
I
do too,
just.
but I'm curious of your perspective.
I don't think they've got their things together. I think the Gerrit Cole thing at the start of the year is a huge blow. I think had he not been sidelined 1 to 2 months to start the season, maybe this is a different story. But that April May start is going to make or break the Yankees. They either come out hot or come out ice cold, and it's that's going to make or break their season the way I see it. And I don't know if their established guys, are ready. I don't know if Stanton's going to come out and have a torrid April to supplement, Judge. Soto, obviously a huge acquisition, but,
Huge.
do the lights shine too bright? We won't know. I don't think so because Juan Soto is Juan Soto. But the
Alex
pitching,
Verdugo.
switching over from Boston, but there's another, conflict to that too. It could be seamless. It could be seamless, and I could totally just swing and miss on this one. I don't know. I don't see it happening for them. I don't. They need to prove to me that they can win first, and they haven't done that. So,
The pitching, I feel like the pitching is
if
a question
Rodon has
mark.
a good year,
Yeah.
they'll fare better.
The pitching is a question mark, but I feel like they got better. I mean, they added Marcus Stroman.
Right.
Rodon was god awful last
Yeah.
year, right? And he can't be as bad as he was last year.
The numbers, I felt like when I was reading into it that it just seems like he's on the decline. So,
And it could be.
hopefully it was he was sidelined. I forgot what that injury was, but injuries, do take part in people's, downfalls. So hopefully it was just a down year for him, bouncing back from injury, and he can help lead that Yankee staff to some more wins.
And I think they're pretty high on Anthony Volpe at
Yeah.
short this year, so it should be interesting. I mean, every single year with the Yankees, it's always interesting to see because they're one of those teams that has just cemented themselves as one of the cornerstones of MLB. And if they're not making the playoffs, it's a story.
Yeah.
So we'll see how things unfold there. AL Central, what do you
It's a
got?
freaking toss up anywhere you go, I feel like the Twins run with the Central year in and year out, but the Guardians, I like the Guardians still too. I feel like if things go their way also, Shane Bieber is Shane Bieber, the Shane Bieber he was around COVID times. Perhaps they stand a chance. Jose Ramirez is still one of the top five hitters in baseball. I just don't know about who's leading the Guardians now at the helm. It's not still Terry Francona because he's
No.
out. I don't mean to put you on the spot like that, but see, now I'm taking a Google because Google will tell us.
Yeah, Google will let us know. But I'll tell you what,
Stephen
as you're
Vogt,
looking that up.
Pacific alum, Stephen Vogt. Shout out to the guy.
Well, there you go.
But even then, that's another question mark because how's he going to do in his first year at the helm? So, the Twins division champs, having to play in Minnesota and still winning, I think it's hard to take that from them. So,
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I do like Tristan McKenzie.
Yep.
Mackenzie, great young starter. Love him. I think he's got great AL Cy Young potential. And man, they do have a good team. I'm with you there. I think we both have them finishing at number two, right?
We
I'm
do.
looking at it right now. Yeah, we both have them at two. What we do have flip-flopped is Tigers and Royals. I have Tigers third, Royals fourth. You have the Royals third and Tigers fourth.
I think
Talk to
I'm
me
just
about
on the
that.
Royals. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I think I'm just on the Royals hype train. I think a lot of people are. Bobby Witt Jr., I feel like, plays a big part in that, obviously. But that's a budding young star. Having played for Team USA during the World Baseball Classic, obviously, I think it instilled a ton of confidence in the kid. And he's got 40-40 upside, I think, has, if he gets some protection in the lineup, I think he's the only guy you circle when you face the Royals if Salvi Perez isn't on a tear. So, if they're buyers maybe at the deadline somehow, if they can help Witt, then I do think they finish third. I just also don't think Detroit is any good, like the White Sox. The AL Central, I feel like, is the worst division in baseball. I feel like a lot of people think that same thing with both Central divisions.
Yeah.
And the Tigers and White Sox, to me, are bottom of the barrel teams. I'm sorry.
I agree with you there. And the only reason why I it's kind of tough, you know. The only reason why I had the Tigers finishing above is just because I feel like they have a little bit more to offer in terms of their starting rotation and in the lineup. I think guys like Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, potential to hit 20 plus homers in a season, Cary Carpenter to follow. The addition of Mark Canha and Jack Flaherty joining the rotation.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And not to mention the guy that's going to be starting tomorrow, opening day, Tarek Skubal, 27 years old. Last year when he came up, he did great. 7-3 win-loss record, 2.8 ERA, 102 strikeouts over 80 innings with a whip of 0.9, and has had a really good spring training. He's one of those guys that I feel like is a extremely dark horse for a potential AL Cy Young. And I know that might be a long shot because he's playing for the Tigers, but this guy has elite stuff. And I think with those additions, I feel like they can supersede the hype that's going on in Kansas City.
Skubal Maeda Flaherty is not bad, for if a team like the Tigers with Torkelson and you Green, Javi Baez is so. Is he a bench player now? That's kind of where I kind of want to take the conversation for a second. Is Javi Baez a bench player? We don't have to go there. But looking at Skubal, I remember him coming into the big leagues. He was going to be, writers were saying that he's going to be the next big guy for Detroit. And at 6'3", 230, the funky delivery, that was the first thing I noticed, but I never noticed the size. Maybe he is really coming into his own. I like the dark horse pick. If Detroit can make themselves contenders, I don't see how that is not a question.
Absolutely. Moving on over to the National League West, I think it's pretty clear Dodgers taking that one. Aside from us both being Dodger fans, you know, I think everybody in the right mind would take them as being division winners. And then after that, it's a little bit of a toss-up for me. And I'm gonna have to explain my rationale, obviously, but I have the Padres finishing second to snag a wild card spot, followed by the Giants, and then the Arizona Diamondbacks finishing fourth, and then the Colorado Rockies, who I think might be the worst team in baseball this year, aside from the Oakland Athletics finishing fifth in the National League West.
Rockies at fifth is definitely, the given. Dodgers at first is definitely the given. Diamondbacks at fourth in your predictions is what's got me with a couple question marks, especially below the Giants.
Well, I tell you what, I did make this before Jordan Montgomery signed, and not that Jordan Montgomery is going to add such an additional thing, but I think I would potentially move him to third after that signing. Obviously, he'll have to ramp up and progress well. I don't know if he's going to be able to start right away because he signed 2 days before the start of the regular season. But yeah, I think it's one of those things where I feel like a lot of the young talent happened to play well last year. Corbin Carroll. He's going into year two now, and it's no surprise that year two happens to be the sophomore slump for a lot of big league players. And I just think that it's kind of the same situation with the Baltimore Orioles. I got to see consistency before I can say, okay, let's do it. I know they had the miracle run and they went all the way to the World Series, and we're a few wins shy of winning it all. But I think it's just such a tough division. And I think when I look lineup to lineup and rotation to rotation, I think the Padres have the most talent aside from the Dodgers. And so that's why I'm putting them at number two. And then I think the Giants just are a little bit more structured and can match up a little bit better against the Diamondbacks. And that's why I gave them the nod over Arizona in that. But it's one of those divisions where I think Dodgers win and then the next three can flip-flop any position.
You know, Bob Melvin, first year manager for the Giants now this year too. That's could be a big impact for them.
Absolutely.
Gabe Kapler's out the door. I think you're right too. I was also reading something about Zach Gallen's hard hit rate is up a tremendous amount. I was a big Zach Gallen guy last year, but at the same time, like you mentioned, that miracle run for the Diamondbacks, that very likely is what it was. I do. Obviously, the Dodgers are just so lauded with talent. There's nobody that I feel like is really going to take that from them. And lineup to lineup, the Padres are pretty stacked. So I can completely agree with you there. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Padres, Giants, Rockies in my order. I feel like it could go either way.
Okay. Moving on over to the National League East. We both have the exact same Braves, Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Nationals. Tell me this. Why are the Mets going to miss the playoffs yet again?
Aside from what was his name? It's Cohen's comment saying that they'll shoot for next season. It honestly, I think it falls back to how poorly last year fell apart. I think the team has no trust in the front office right now. Maybe they do have trust because they're willing to go out and spend. Maybe the front office has no trust in the players, and the players perhaps feel that. The lights do shine bright in New York, and obviously the Mets are, I feel like, are the little sister to the Yankees when it comes to that area. Perhaps, you know, the media gives the Yankees more attention. But the Mets don't have it together. Now they departed with Showalter. I don't like that. I do think you have to give the players some accountability, and there were plenty of things coming out of New York last season about whether or not guys were truly working hard. They're just not a they're not a winning ball club to me. Not right now. You know, they'll have to prove it next season, like they said they would. The Braves obviously just run that division. I'm really excited for Ronald Acuña's season. I haven't picked predictions, but I do think Acuña goes back to back MVPs.
Wow. Does he expand beyond the 40-70?
I do think I was thinking that question today because I knew I was going to drop this ball. 50-50 is obviously, I feel like, you know, where everybody wants to see him go. I hope, fingers crossed, that he makes it there for the sake of baseball, because that would be just so amazing. 40-70 was terrific in its own, but 50-50 would truly be something monumental. And I think this year would be the year to do it.
All right. I like it. I agree with you. Mets don't make it. Man, the rotation is just not there whatsoever. Yeah. Jose Quintana is going to be their opening day starter. No knock on him, but that's the guy that you got leading you. You know, the rotation's not going to be that healthy and that good. Marlins not too far off, I feel like, to take over the Mets and finish third there. I think you're right. The Braves are just too talented, too good. The lineup is just outrageously deep. Jared Kelenic moving over there and providing stuff for Atlanta is going to be fun to see. This is a guy that was a top prospect for Seattle and is now just floating around with Atlanta.
I do have a feeling that the change of scenery will be good. You know, whether it was the whole Pacific Northwest thing or how Seattle treated him, you know, bringing him up and keeping him down for perhaps a bit too long. And then when he got up, maybe he wasn't ready. You know, he had the back and forth stints. I think maybe there was some distrust there in Seattle. Maybe he didn't feel like the guy because they had J-Rod coming up through the ladder too. Who knows? But I feel like, obviously, who wouldn't want to play for the Atlanta Braves right now? If you're not playing for the Dodgers in the National League, I think you'd want to play for the Braves. So I have a feeling Kelenic's a guy that's going to come in, hit a few bombs to the short porch out and right in, what is it, Truist Park. He'll have a good season. 20 homers.
And the Phillies, 20 homers. I like that. And the Phillies not too far behind. This is a team that has knocked out the Braves in the playoffs, back-to-back seasons in the National League Division Series best of five. They got a chip on their back and obviously want to be a division champion. So it should be fun to see the fight. But I think we both agree Atlanta's the team to beat. Moving on over to the National League Central, I think we both have a little bit of a swap here. It's between the Cubs and the Cardinals. And no knock on the Cardinals. I just think the Cubs are the better team. And also, there may be some bias there. I just don't like the Cardinals as a Dodger fan, for obvious reasons. But I have the Cubs finishing first, followed by the Cardinals, and then the Reds, Brewers, and Pirates in that order. What
Yeah,
do you think?
believe that I have the Pirates third. I feel like that was just a dark horse kind of pick. I like what Pittsburgh's kind of got brewing going on underneath the surface. I feel like that probably won't finish third, but I would like to see them finish third. The Reds, the Brewers at fifth, I think was the biggest, shakeup for me, but I feel like the Brewers are plummeting fast.
First to
Obviously,
worst.
yeah. The departure of Burns, I think Adames is going to go by the All-Star break. I think that's the kind of season it is for Milwaukee. Craig Council gone. That's, my big reasoning there. I hope Arenado comes out and just is hits out of the gate. I think he was obviously the bug the beginning of last season, didn't win his gold glove. I think he's coming out with a chip on his shoulder, and him and Goldschmidt are going to hit their way into the postseason for the Cardinals.
I like it. I like that prediction there. Yeah, for me, the Cubbies taking the lead over the Cardinals. I feel like I like the Cubs lineup a little bit better, and I like more often than not. I always look at the starters, and I feel like Justin Steele is a better ace for the Cubs as opposed to the Cardinals. Cardinals did add some arms. They got Lance Lynn, who led the league in home runs allowed last year. And then also Sonny Gray, who won't be available in the beginning of the season, who had really great numbers last year when healthy. But obviously at age 34 could potentially start just declining a little bit there. So I like Justin Steele. I like Hendricks. Shota, I've always butchered the last name. Do you know how to pronounce
Imanaga is my best
Naga?
guess, but I wouldn't, don't take my money on that.
Naga coming in. So we'll see how that goes.
I think he's going to be nasty. I have a feeling he's actually going to pitch better than Yamamoto.
Bold take.
Maybe it's the size thing. I'm not too sure about that. Could be the lefty righty thing. Who knows?
Okay.
But the video I've seen of Imanaga, he looks gross. So I think he's a dark horse. Rookie of the year candidate for sure, top three, but a dark horse Cy Young candidate.
I like it. So moving on into the postseason projections, my six postseason teams for the American League are the Astros, Blue Jays, Twins, Orioles, Rangers, Mariners. In the American League Championship Series, I have the Astros and the Blue Jays. And I'm taking the Astros over the Blue Jays in six games to make it to the World Series yet again. In the National League, my six postseason teams are the Dodgers, Braves, Cubs, Phillies, Padres, and Cardinals. And then in the National League Championship Series, I have the Dodgers and the Braves in that. And I have the Dodgers beating the Braves in six games. And it is a Dodgers Astros rematch of 2017, where I have the Dodgers over the Astros in six games. Take us through your postseason.
That'd be so good. That the way it should have gone years ago.
Yeah.
I have, let's see, starting with the American League, I had the Orioles in the first seed, the Rangers winners of the West, Twins winners of the Central, Jays, Rays, and Astros fall in after them in order. In the championship series is where we started. I had the Orioles over the Rangers in five games. Again, I'm hoping for the Rangers, to pull out back-to-back runs. But I have the Orioles falling at the very end. For the National League, I have the Dodgers as the top seed, the Braves winning the East, Cardinals winning the Central, Diamondbacks, Phillies, and Cubs to follow them. In the championship series, I have the Dodgers taking the Braves in seven games. I don't think there's any way that series ends in less than six. And then I have the Dodgers over the Orioles in six games for the World Series.
Wow, yeah, the Orioles going all the way.
I do.
I like it. Dodgers Orioles, that would be a great matchup, I think, too. just for baseball in general.
Absolutely.
Well, moving away from the postseason and the overall season predictions, really the main news story that has been surfacing up throughout the entire week has been the Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter Ipe Mizuhara situation. So basically, after the first game of the season opening up in Korea and the Dodgers winning that game, breaking news is the Dodgers fired Mizuhara for the apparent theft of about $4.5 million that had went from Ohtani's bank account wire transferred into a booking account for sports betting. And initially, Ipe had given an interview where he said that Shohei had knew about this and had paid off his debt, kind of just helping him out. And then backtracks in the second interview saying that Ohtani didn't know about it and that he had done this all on his accord. So we didn't get a response from Ohtani or his team until Monday afternoon, where he comes out, has a press conference, and double downs pretty much on what we thought would happen, where he's denying ever having bet on baseball and also any sport or having anyone do it for him. And he believes that Ipe has been lying to him multiple times. And that's kind of the situation that is unfolded. And a lot of people are like, okay, well, what can happen out of this? So looking into the rule book, Rule 21 of MLB has a strict gambling policy on any diamond sports. So that includes softball as well as baseball. But doing so can result in a year ban up to a lifetime ban. The most notable is Pete Rose in 1989 getting a lifetime ban for betting on the Reds to win while he was both playing and managing the Reds throughout the 1985 through 1987 seasons. I do know there have been some other instances recently where players have gotten like undisclosed fines. So it's a lot of kind of murky water of what could happen if, right? A lot of this is just kind of guessing right now and no real hard facts, obviously, but there are both apparent, right, investigations from authorities, which Shohei's team say that they have notified authorities, but I guess the latest thing is they're not saying which authorities, right? And MLB has announced that they are doing their own internal investigation as well. So two separate investigations apparently going on, and we'll see what comes out of those. But it's hard to say what would happen if he's found guilty or if he's not found guilty. So we'll see what is going to come out of this. Dodger fan aside, I feel like Shohei's telling the truth. But we'll see how it goes. I think even if he is found guilty, we'll have to see, obviously, the severity of the situation and what type of bets were happening and see what's going on there. But I think a guy that stature, the guy that's making so much money, I just don't see a situation where he would be doing something that could potentially damage his entire career for just a few bucks, pretty much, compared to what he's going to be getting.
I like that thought. I like the thought. Dodger fan aside too, I like that addition. It's hard for me to see it that way from the very beginning. Ever since I found out that Ipe and that spokesperson on Ohtani's camp from Ohtani's camp made their personal statement saying that, they had made those payments to the bookie together, and then they retracted it and went with what the official lawyers had to say, and then they've now gone with this story. I think they're blackballing Ipe. I think they are just dragging his name through the mud, and they're doing whatever they can to make him look as awful as he can possibly be. I think Shohei and Ipe go back to Japan, do they not? I believe they're longtime friends. I believe that Ohtani did not do the gambling. I don't believe there's a world where Ohtani had no idea that his best buddy was gambling. I think that we're all human, and we all make mistakes. This probably wasn't even a mistake to them until it was, all of a sudden 2 weeks ago, if that's when they might have, really found out. But the way that the Dodgers handled things privately, of course they would. The fact that Ohtani didn't answer questions in the press conference, that he had to release another statement from the lawyers, I think that the media is doing the best they can to protect baseball's golden boy, and rightfully so. I mean, they've done this same exact thing millions of other times for millions of other situations. And baseball's making too much money to let something like this really affect them. So.
I agree with that. I let me retract a little bit. I think he did not do any betting, but do I don't know about the situation up there. And if he did pay off Ipe's debt, what's the penalty for that? You know, we don't know because it's just uncharted territory that has never surfaced. So we'll just see kind of how the things unfold. But I like your analysis there. But speaking of gambling, I'm gonna let you know my prize picks for
Do
the
this.
MLB season-long bets. So I'm going with a 5-pick bet, and my 5 players are as follows. I'll start with the first one that you can't bet anymore, but that's Mookie Betts over 160.5 hits. I have him hitting the over of this. He's done it pretty much in every single season except for 2 full seasons, not including the COVID year, obviously. His career high, I think, was like 220 something when he won the AL MVP with Boston. So I think he clearly goes over this. He's got Shohei hitting second behind him, leading off for the Dodgers, is assuming he stays healthy, which is a lot assuming for all these guys on here. I think he easily gets the over. Followed by Chris Bryant over 19.5 homers. I think in Coors Field with a guy like Bryant, as long as he's healthy, which he's missed over 200 games for Colorado in the past 2 seasons, which is just an outrageous number. If he stays healthy, which all things aside, so far it looks like he is, and I hear that he's going to be playing first base now, so that should be able to help with health. I think in Coors, guy that this caliber, 20 homers should be doable. I have Christian Yelich over 17.5 homers, kind of similar for Chris Bryant reasons. I think a guy like him does have at least 20 homer potential. Adley Rutschman over 21.5 homers. I think he just continues to build off of last season. He's one of the guys that I do like from Baltimore to kind of maintain that success. And then Mike Trout over 31.5 home runs. And the only guy, I guess, on that
He's
Angels
the
mind.
best player in baseball, dude. You can't take that away from him, man.
Yeah. Got
You
to continue
know?
to roll with it. So that's my
Yeah.
5 picks. What do you think about those?
I love him. I love him. Mookie, I think obviously hitting in front of Ohtani is going to get every pitch to hit. There's no way, you know, that he will take his walks for certain, but he's going to have a big season. I think a 40 homer season for the first time.
Oof.
Trout, since that's fresh on my mind, I like that. I mean, 40 homers in 80 games, obviously over 2 separate seasons, but he's got the pop. As long as he can keep that back under control, he'll be okay. Yelich, one of my favorite guys. I think that's the toughest bet
Yeah.
there, honestly. Bryant and Coors should be A-okay as long as he's back to somewhat even semi-normal. And what was the other one? Rutschman. I
Adley.
love Rutschman. That home run derby showing last season
Oh,
was the best thing I saw
amazing.
all season. So I love him. I love him. Yelich is a tough one, but the rest of them you should be okay with.
I like it. We got about a minute left in this. Opening day's tomorrow. What's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to?
Dodger baseball, man. Dodger baseball.
Love it.
100%. That's all I could say.
All right, I'm just ready for another great season. Do you have any bold predictions that you want to drop?
Bold predictions. O'Neal Cruz, top 5 MVP voting.
O'Neal Cruz, top 5 MVP voting. Okay. Do you have him on a fantasy team?
I do. He's my shortstop.
Okay. All right. I like it. O'Neal Cruz. Last bold prediction I got for you. J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez becomes the now, is it 6 players to hit 40-40?
Okay, I like that.
I think it might be 6, right?
I have no idea. I
Around
truth.
there. But he's joining the 40-40 club this year, and he's not winning MVP.
Oh, old.
Because I have Vladdy. All right, Nate, it's been a great time. We'll see you guys all here next week. Enjoy opening weekend.